If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, May 14th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. If you're considering buying an electric car, you're probably thinking about the impact your choice will have on the environment. But how can that choice affect the economy? We'll find out why the economic impact of EVs matters and why some governments are pulling back on their financial support for the industry. And then, in under 2 years, the bargain app Temu has become the second most popular shopping app in the US after Amazon by monthly users. It's spent billions of dollars to acquire new U.S. users. But now, Temu is looking to reduce its reliance on American customers. WSJ reporter Shen Liu joins us to explain why. We're starting, though, with a look at green technologies. Some Western governments are scaling back their commitments to EVs. Not because these technologies aren't doing enough for the environment, but because of their effect on the economy. Stephen Wilmot is an editor of the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column, and he joins me now with more on the question of whether EVs are helping or hurting the economy. So, Stephen, you wrote that assessing the economic impact of green technologies is messy. Why is it so tricky?
There are three levels of difficulty in answering this question of ambivalence, if you will. One is that there's a kind of long-term impact, which is a bit different from a short-term impact. The short-term impact, most people agree, is quite difficult. You've got these expensive technologies like EVs. Renewable power is expensive if you factor in all of the cost of overcoming the intermittency problems, so the fact that the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, because you need grid upgrades and so forth, batteries. In the longer term, the hope is that those costs will come down to the point where, like in previous energy revolutions, it's a huge windfall for the economy. There are other things as well. I mean, the fact that the economic benefits and costs are unequally distributed throughout the globe. The most topical example is China, having built up a strong position in green energy technologies, has positioned itself to be a winner from their growth. And that is obviously creating geopolitical tensions. And finally, I guess the issue is we don't really know what would happen if we didn't invest in green technologies. So what are the costs of climate change? That's a difficult one because it's a bit of a counterfactual.
I want to break some of that down. What effect in particular are EVs having on economies in the short term?
EVs are interesting because they're the most visible part of this green energy transition. And EVs, there's also this question of cost. So they are more expensive than traditional cars. So if governments mandate their adoption, then that adds to the cost for consumers, which basically increases inflation and has a bit of a negative economic impact.
Are governments altering their policies because of the potential near-term economic impacts of green technologies?
Yes, I mean, we're already seeing governments row back a bit of their enthusiasm for green technologies as they see these impacts such as inflation or the potential for the job losses against the backdrop of elections, notably in the US, and also the cost of the subsidies. Germany, which is particularly sensitive to its kind of fiscal balances, retired its EV subsidies early because of debates about the fiscal sustainability. In the US, for the Biden administration, it's more about jobs in an election year and the move in March to soften the proposed fuel economy rules seem to be a bit of a political move in an election year.
How could innovation affect the economic impact of the EV transition and the transition to other green technologies?
Innovation is the big cure-all here. If it happens, the problem is it's a bit uncertain, but the hope is that innovation will drive down the cost of these technologies, or even, you know, there could be some breakthrough in nuclear fusion or whatever that would be a complete game changer. But yeah, innovation has the potential to really to turn what is currently a bit of an economic headwind into an economic tailwind.
I mean, on that note, why does it matter if electric vehicles or other environmental technologies do help the economy?
Governments haven't been promoting these technologies for economic reasons. Well, China has, but the US and Europe have not. They've been doing it for environmental reasons. The problem is, if you do something which imposes high economic costs, then it's very hard for politicians in democratic societies to carry on. So the economic impact is a neglected area that we should focus on.
That was Heard on the Street editor Stephen Wilmot. After the break, TikTok isn't the only app with Chinese roots that's worried about scrutiny from U.S. politicians. We'll explain how e-commerce app Temu is shifting its business strategy when we come back.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
By now, you've probably heard about TikTok's troubles with the U.S. government. The Biden administration and other politicians are worried TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance could share user information with Beijing. TikTok has repeatedly said that it has never shared U.S. user data with the Chinese government and that it would refuse any such requests. But the social media company's troubles have sparked concerns of another company with Chinese roots, the bargain app Temu. It's owned by Chinese e-commerce giant PDD. People close to the company have said that Temu is shifting priorities beyond the U.S. after shelling out billions of dollars to acquire new U.S. users. Our reporter Shen Lu is here to explain how Temu is changing its strategy. Shen Lu, can you tell us a little bit about Temu's growth over the past few years?
Temu entered the U.S. market in September 2022, and it has since enjoyed a spectacular growth in the U.S., and the app now has more than 50 million users in the U.S., and it's increasingly encroaching on Amazon's turf.
Last month, the U.S. passed a law requiring TikTok's Chinese parent, ByteDance, to sell the social media platform or have the app banned in the U.S. How is Temu's strategy different from other companies with Chinese roots in the U.S.?
Temu's reaction is a little different from that of TikTok and Shein, a fast fashion giant that also has roots in China, which have both spent significantly in U.S. lobbying. But Temu so far hasn't had any lobbying presence in the U.S., according to Open Secrets, a nonpartisan platform that tracks political contributions. Temu says it has engaged with regulators and other stakeholders in all markets where it operates, including in the U.S., but it hasn't disclosed how much money it has spent on compliance in the U.S. or in other global markets.
And Shen Lu, what is the risk that Temu is hedging against?
Temu started worrying about facing similar trouble as TikTok in late 2022 when the Biden administration threatened to ban TikTok. And then when the House passed the TikTok bill in March, those fears intensified, and a decision was made at the time that Temu should move faster to reduce its reliance in the U.S. That information comes from people close to the company.
Shen Lu, in addition to TikTok, why else is Temu looking to shift away from its reliance on the U.S.?
Temu has had spectacular rise in the U.S., but in recent months, it has experienced slowing growth in its biggest market. The company now expects a less than a third of its sales to come from the United States this year. That compares with 60% last year. That's why Temu's management is finding new growth opportunities elsewhere this year. Temu is diverting more of its advertisement spend in Europe and other markets. So now Europe accounts for 30% of Temu's total ad dollars. That's about the same as they spend in the U.S.
And we talked about the impact of TikTok and political issues. What has the company said about its change in strategy?
Temu told us in a statement that its expansion to new markets doesn't reflect a diminished emphasis on the U.S., but that shows its commitment to building a global e-commerce company. And the company also said that its decisions are not driven by the experience of another company.
Temu is also facing a series of legal and compliance challenges, Are there specific claims against Temu that U.S. lawmakers have raised?
U.S. lawmakers have accused both Temu and Shein for allegedly using forced labor from China's Xinjiang region. So they have pressed both companies to be more transparent about their supply chain. And Temu and Shein also face accusations of taking advantage of a U.S. tax loophole that allows companies to ship low-value packages into the U.S. without paying import taxes and without being scrutinized at the customs. Apart from that, Temu also faces criticisms about product safety and data privacy concerns.
How has Temu reacted to those concerns?
Temu now faces two class action lawsuits alleging that it collected more information from U.S. users than disclosed. Temu said the allegations have no merit and that its app is independently certified to meet strict data security standards. In terms of forced labor accusations, Temu has said that those allegations are completely unfounded. But the company last year told a China-focused U.S. congressional committee that it didn't explicitly prohibit the selling of products from Xinjiang by third-party sellers. Since then, it has said that it's prohibiting its suppliers from using forced labor.
That was our reporter, Shen Liu. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.